Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, and welcome to part one of a two-part interview with Clifton Roberts, U.S. presidential candidate 2016 with the Humane Party. Clifton Roberts has been nominated as the Humane Party's first ever candidate for the office of the President of the United States of America. Clifton has over two decades of corporate organizational experience in industries ranging from healthcare to financial services. He currently serves as Ethics and Legal Compliance Manager for the world's largest semiconductor producer. Clifton Roberts, who has been a vegan for over 18 years, served as the CEO of the Humane Party, where he became known as a visionary in the areas of social justice, environmentalism, and animal rights. During his tenure, Roberts established the Humane Party's current conference structure and finalized proposals for groundbreaking legislation, including three proposed amendments to the U.S. Constitution. I am very honored that joining us via Skype in Sacramento, California, is Clifton Roberts, U.S. presidential candidate of the Humane Party. Thank you very much, Clifton, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Marlene, it is my pleasure to join you and your listeners and the compassionate people that are tuning in today's conversation. So, my honor as well.
I believe that you and the Humane Party are the ones who are walking the talk of the change that we wish to see in the world. And I'd like to quote Albert Einstein from one of your pages. A definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again while expecting different results.
Albert Einstein is recognized as a very prolific thinker, and it was him that said nothing will benefit human existence more to a transition or evolution to a vegetarian diet. And you know what amazes me, Marlene, is that there's so many people that are even mentioned in the same light as Albert Einstein, that are well-respected throughout history, that have said the same type of thing about our vegan diet. There's all this science around it, and yet, for whatever reason, it's still not being understood. It's not being grasped by the majority of the United States, and I truly believe it will. And that's the reason why I used his quote, "It's happened ever since I can remember," and I was born in 1967. So as far as I can remember politics, when I started to remember, you know, the Kennedys and the Fords and the Nixons and the Carters and the Reagan and the Bush, and actually have memories of those, I remember that they would say something, and as they're running, you wouldn't really see the change that's promised. I think there would be some small moves, but the executive branch would never be able to get along with the congressional branch well enough to actually accomplish some of the things that were being promised. And that's why I stated every 4 years, we're promised change. And every 4 years, those promises are exchanged. Every 4 years, we're offered a choice, but 4 years later, we've lost our voice. And you know, whether it's the Eighth Amendment or the Abolition Amendment, whether it's regarding our stance on the death penalty or three strikes laws and equal rights, whether it's our stance on GMOs, and just by the way, I know there's a lot of debate, but genetically modified organisms, the Humane Party position is we need to get rid of that. Even our stance on national security, our strategy is to propose constitutional amendments, to write legislation around it, so we know that we're not just making empty promises. Now, will it happen next year? Of course not, but we are setting the foundation for people like you and me and your listeners and people of the Humane Party to actually execute the strategy, to actually tactically put strategies together to support the overall strategy and platform outlined by the Humane Party.
Yes, you have the vision and the pragmatic solutions.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I can tell you that one of the things, like when we think about the three strikes laws and equal rights and the death penalty, if I were this country's president and commander-in-chief, and hopefully I can get elected, and if not, I'll continue to seek this office or any other federal office, whether it's Senate or House of Representatives. The people of this country have my promise to fight to eliminate the death penalty, because I believe our government should dispense justice and not death. And I'd also introduce legislation in action to repeal the three strikes laws, as well as other inhumane mandatory sentencing laws. And not only that, I'm going to continue to work diligently to eliminate systems and practices that create profit motives to put people in jail and keep them in jail. And not only that, we're still committed to equal rights. And so that's why we've written and proposed a constitutional amendment called the Equal Rights 2 Amendment. And when I served as CEO of the Humane Party, I actually signed and sponsored that proposed piece of legislation because I think it's important. Even though we've made huge strides, there's still situations where we know that women are not being paid as much as men. And so that's important to me. That's important to me in part.
Will you please discuss a little bit about racial profiling?
I'd like to start off with a positive story. I had shared this story once before where my son went out late at night. He's 20 years old. He's hanging out with his friends. And my son, obviously, he's African-American and Korean and a little bit of French. And his friend in the front seat was, I think, Middle Eastern. And then he had a Hispanic friend in the front seat. So you can imagine these are three young kids, 20 years old, out having fun. My son is a musician, so he's playing them some music. And I guess a neighbor, because it was late, a neighbor called the police and said, there's people yelling, and I think they're smoking marijuana. So the police get there, and in a normal situation where these three kids, who I know them all, they're all great kids. The one that was smoking marijuana actually has a marijuana card, a medical marijuana card. And my son was actually the one, quote-unquote, screaming because he was showing them his new music. He had his computer in the back seat with them. Now, imagine what would have happened if they had been racially profiled first rather than having been approached by a true peace officer. So, this true peace officer named the name can't come to me right now, but she had a very cool name. Officer Cooley, that was her name. Officer Cooley. That's what I can see. Her name was Officer Cooley. I kid you not. And she approaches the car, and instead of racially profiling them and have them get out the car and slam them to the ground and put hands on them, she walked up, knocked on the window, and said, "Hey, guys, what's going on?" They said, "Oh, we're just out here. You know, my friend in the back, Elijah, he's showing us his music." And then she asks Elijah, my son, "So, oh, you're a musician?" He's like, "Yeah, yes, ma'am, I am." She says, "Well, why don't you let me hear one of your songs?" So he plays her his song. She basically says, "Wow, that's great. You know, hey, guys, can you kind of keep it down? They said one of you were yelling." And my son says, "That might have been me just singing to the song. Is one of you smoking marijuana?" And the guy in the front says, "That was me, officer. Here's my medical marijuana card." So she basically says, "Okay, look, you guys don't drive right now because I can smell it, but I can tell you guys are good kids. Be careful." So when my son got home, the first thing he says was, "Dad, I met the coolest police officer named Officer Cooley." And that officer basically rebranded the image of police officers for my son. And so I couldn't help but write her a letter. And I actually posted that letter to my Facebook page. But I couldn't help but write her a letter, and she actually responded where I thanked her for being a peace officer, thanked her for treating my son and his friends with the respect and dignity that they deserve. And I didn't say, "Thank you for not racially profiling." She was so smitten by the letter, and she wrote me back, and she said, "Wow, you know, Mr. Roberts, it took me a while to write you back because I'm honestly in awe of the letter. I've never received such a nice letter. Thank you." Because I truly appreciated that. And I think that's what we need to do, is we need to provide that type of training, that type of compassionate attitude towards being a peace officer. That's what police officers are peace officers. They have a pledge to protect and serve. With me as president, especially where there are issues and there are problems with racial profiling, and there are problems with young kids being killed by grown men with badges. Grown men with badges, and they're killing children, I would make a personal trip there. And I would talk to those folks, and I would talk to the captains of those police institutions. Imagine the difference that would make if the president actually made trips to various parts of the country to do that. So that's what I would do as president.
I would like to ask about your desire to repeal the Ag Gag Law, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act.
When we look at constitutional amendments, we have a right to free speech. And throughout history, it's been videos and it's been audio tapes. Even when you think of Dr. Martin Luther King, you saw videos in Washington, D.C. for his I Have a Dream speech. There has to be a way to be able to kind of monitor the things that you care about. Now, ultimately, what's going to happen is we are going to turn into guardians for cows and pigs and chickens and turkeys. And we're going to have a lot more transparency in the way that they're treated. But until then, we definitely should not do away with our right to free speech. We definitely should not do away with our right to know how, quote unquote, food, which animals are not, animals should not be food, but to other people, what they're eating, we need to expose that. So those ag-gag laws are just ridiculous. I think it's an insult to our First Amendment rights to free speech. Not only that, it's an insult to the logic of any human being. And it seems that we've almost lost our good sense of reasoning and logic, because why wouldn't you want to know what it is that you're putting into your mouth and digesting, where it comes from? Why wouldn't you want to know that? That is beyond my wildest imagination of a human being, especially an adult human being, not wanting to know where the substance, whether it's muscle and epinephrine of animal tissue, whether it's the secretion of another mammal, or whether it's even plants. I want to know, hey, who's the farmer for this? Where did this come from? So the short answer to your question, Marlene, is it's an insult to our First Amendment right to free speech, and we need to get rid of them.
And I'd like to quote you again, Clifton Roberts. This mistreatment of the animals, this mistreatment gives rise to our aggression, gives birth to our lack of reasoning and understanding, and as people, our continued consumption of death and turmoil soils our souls, darkens our conscience, leeches onto our logic, and compromises our compassion.
Let me expound on that. And I really thought about that prior to delivering that speech. And that's part of the presidential nomination speech. What I want to do is demonstrate to the United States of America the consequences of what our mistreatment of non-human animals. That not only is it that when we mistreat them through killing them, hanging them upside down, skinning them alive, chopping up their muscles. When we do that, every time we do that, whether we are the person doing it or whether we are the person paying someone else to do it or whether we are the person eating their muscles, that it does give rise to our aggression. And then when I say gives birth to our lack of reasoning and understanding, it's so common for animals to be killed that most people I talk to always revert the conversation from compassion to food. Oh, you're trying to control the food I eat. No, let's just take food out of the equation for right now. Right now, there's millions and billions of animals being killed, and they don't do anything to deserve that. And then when I said, as a people, our continued consumption of death and turmoil, which it is, whether it's a lamb, whether it's a sheep, whether it's in some other countries, dogs and cats and goats and chickens and pigs, I mean, it is the continued consumption of death and turmoil that is really causing a dirty stain in our soul. And it's darkening the way that we view the world. And when I say leeches onto our logic, let's say you see a five-year-old on a train, and that five-year-old is still suckling food from his mother's breast. And I see other people look at that as if it's wrong. And at the same time, they'll open up a plastic bottle of cow milk and drink it. This way of life is so embedded in habit and in culture, in tradition, that we have lost our own sense of logic. And obviously, in terms of compromising our compassion, we as a people have no compassion. The fact is that we can not only eat the chopped up bodies of animals, but some cases, some of us can participate in killing and chopping up of bodies. I'm 48 now, And I went vegan at the age of 30. I was vegetarian prior to then. And for 30 years, I was blind to what was going on. We can't teach everyone to be compassionate, but we can change love.
It's time to take a break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, and we are very fortunate to be joined by Clifton Roberts, U.S. presidential candidate with the Humane Party.
Hi, this is Sunta Africa.
And this is Velikete.
And you are tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM Community Radio in Worcester, Massachusetts.
And worldwide, WCUW.org.
Are you listening? WCUW's Worcester's 91.3 FM. Tune in. You know it's Nate Peter Ghost, Barack King X, Voice of the Voiceless. Come check us out Tuesdays, 12 to 1 p.m.
Hi, this is Emma with the Regional Environmental Council, urging you to support community radio, WCUW Worcester.
What a beautiful world.
Hi, this is Troy. You're listening to WCUW. Tune in on Fridays and hear the Jukebox of Americana, Fridays from 9 to 12 noon.
Beautiful world.
Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, and we are continuing our conversation with Clifton Roberts, U.S. presidential candidate with the Humane Party.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and it's been a wonderful conversation so far, so looking forward to the continuation of that.
Me too. And I'd love to hear how you became involved with the Humane Party.
I've always spoken out on behalf of animals and injustice. And war, I mean, just looking at how often the United States was going to war without even saying that they were going to war, but just being involved in aggressive behavior, and how often that I would see that my own sister or people that I love and care about and respect weren't being treated fairly. And so I always knew that there was something that was awaiting, and that my life was being developed and evolving to do something that was going to be at not only just a national scale, but at a global scale. And I remember coming across the Humane Party on the internet, and I just did some research on it. They'd asked all of their officers and board of directors and anyone running on a Humane Party platform is required to fill out an oath and be committed to not only a vegan lifestyle, but a compassionate lifestyle, a moral lifestyle, an ethical lifestyle. And it fell completely in line, 100%, with my own views on social justice, my own views on economic and foreign policy. And so immediately I was sold. I was committed 100% as a volunteer. I work for the largest semiconductor company in the world as my day job. I'm senior manager in the law and policy group for ethics and legal compliance. And what I would do was get off of work and come home, be home maybe around 6. I work a 12-hour day at work and come home. And then from 6 to 12, I would do everything I can to create awareness about the campaign. So that's one thing that I wanted to point out to you and your listeners is, most of the people that are seeing this campaign for the first time think that we haven't been doing much up until now. But since 2008, the board of directors, the people that have been involved with the Humane Party, have been putting together this vision and mission for quite some time. And I truly think that it's not only revolutionary, but I think it is the only political party that established a leadership position in directly confronting on a political scale some of the most profound issues of our time. And so I was immediately committed. I applied specifically for the chief executive officer job, and it was a volunteer job. Matter of fact, it wasn't even designed to be a volunteer job. The officers of the main party, the board of directors said that they would pay them a monthly stipend. Well, I was so excited about the social justice issues that this party addressed that I refused any type of pain. I'm so impressed with this party's platform that I wanted to get involved and help out any way I could. I wanted to lend my expertise in the areas of organizational experience and technology to be able to lend that expertise to advance and forward the momentum of this beautiful political party of ours. So that's basically the story of how I got started. The board of directors, just to give you a little bit more information about these main parties, the board of directors are all brilliant people. They're all vegan. The conference developers that I've developed wonderful relationships with, initially some of the conference developers was Robin Miller, Valerie Lane Walden up in the New York area, had Don Huddleston down in California, had Magnolia in the Texas area. This party is so wonderful and addresses real human and non-human issues around social justice that there's no way that I could not be involved. And as a matter of fact, I felt honored and humbled that I was able to get involved with the efforts of this party at such a ground floor level.
We have faith and hope for you, for the Humane Party, and for making changes for everyone on earth to live truly the life of blessings. In this age of corporate media control, how are you and the Humane Party getting the message out?
When we announced the candidacy, Shell Harrison, who stepped in as the acting CEO when I accepted the candidacy for the president, to run for president, he approached Faith Hoover. Now, Faith Hoover is a beautiful vegan and a wonderful, beautiful animal life activist. Faith did an email blast to 5,000 media outlets when we announced our candidacy for the president of the United States. I'm indebted to her as a human being, as a sister of the Humane Party. And then we had people like Maggie Sargent in our conference developers. We came together as one unit, and so much came out of that effort where the board of directors, like people like Shell Harrison, Georgia Smith, and Maggie Sargent stepping up to help me run the campaign, Baruch Imbar and his wife Maya. Baruch developed our In Life We Trust logo. He said, "Clifton, I can't believe I'm witnessing this. Can I come aboard and help in any way possible?" And I'm indebted to these people. Eddie Ma, who is a very well-known vegan on the social media scene, Eddie Ma contacted me right away. He approved the messaging of the video, the presidential nomination campaign speech, and he immediately proliferated that message to his constituency and the people that listened to him and lend him their ears in terms of things that he messaged. So literally, it was a great illustration of how not just vegans, but people committed to animal rights, people committed to protecting the environment, and people committed to eliminating the possibility of climate change and GMOs. All of us got together.
And that leads me back to another item from your writings, and it is, quote, from Clifton Roberts, "It is my intent to re-energize the marketplace of ideas, to expand and enhance collaboration between public and private sectors in the areas of science, technology, and government."
Yes, give you an example is the economy. The economy right now, whether it's an unbalanced budget, whether it's the deficit, right now we're having an issue solving that ultimately because there's no consequences to having to balance a budget. That requires a Congress filled with grown people that should be responsible to balance that budget. Right now, basically, our government says, well, okay, you didn't balance the budget, the citizens get angry, and, you know, nothing happens really, right? They still get paid, it's in the news for a little bit. But what we want to do is we want to introduce thought leaders from the private sector as well. You know, we have some of the brightest students coming out of MBA school or coming out of Harvard in master's and doctorate degrees in economics, in mathematics, in statistics. And we want to make sure that we're leveraging partnerships between public and private sector to get things done. Second to that, to be able to get it done, is we have to write amendments requiring it. We have to write constitutional legislation that requires that, hey, you guys are all adults. If you are going to be elected into Congress, as a senator, as a House of Representatives, and you are representing my voice and you're representing the voice of a citizen here in the United States of America, we're going to hold you accountable. And the way that we need to do that is write constitutional amendments. And that's the beauty of being a volunteer for the Humane Party. Wherever you have a passion, if you have an idea for a proposed constitutional amendment, whether it's, I think we should have a constitutional amendment that requires that Congress and the House of Representatives be able to balance the budget, right? We had constitutional amendments that required women to be able to vote, even though back then I'm sure people were like laughing at the idea, like a constitutional amendment to have women to vote?
Yeah.
Right? But it happened. That's the beauty of our original Founding Fathers document. And when they put together the United States Constitution, remember, the preamble to the Constitution states, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, in order to form a more perfect union. That means it's in a constant state of evolution. Establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, right? So it's going to always be evolving. That call to action for your listeners. The Humane Party is a party built up of volunteers in every segment, whether you're a statistician, whether you're a constitutional attorney, whether you are a graphic design artist, whether you are a writer, whether you're a reporter. We want all the help we can get, not just for this campaign, but for the Humane Party.
Thank you, Clifton. This is the wrap-up of part one of a two-part interview with Clifton Roberts, U.S. presidential candidate with the Humane Party. Thank you, Clifton Roberts. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you so much, Marlene. I really appreciate you. Thank you to you and your listeners for inviting me. All right, Marlene. Have a wonderful day. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too. Join us again next week, as Clifton will share more information about the platform of the Humane Party and for more insights into his leadership skills and vision as President of the United States. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Let's go out with a tune from Will Tuttle's album Animal Songs. This is To Be Free. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.